This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and
20, 2015. This is here right now. Richard, would you raise your hand so they know who you are? The one that's shining on top, that's the one. Okay, and then also we'd like to introduce to you Mike Allgaier, if you'll let yourself be known there, Mike. He is working as member care, he and his wife, to help keep D&I workers connected. So here's how we're going about it. After we have prayer led by our board member, Brother Richard, to dedicate this session to the Lord, Eugene here with Olive Branch will give us the first salvo. He'll start off with about 8 minutes or so sharing what's on his heart on this topic. And then after that, each of us will share in order to fill in any of the cracks that he may have left or add additional ideas. After Eugene is finished, if you would please pass your questions to the middle aisle, and then Kyle will pick them up, bring them to us. Eugene will sort them out, who gets which questions. And I've instructed him to give me the easier ones, since I'm the chairman. And that's chairman's privilege. And then after we go through several rounds of these questions, we'll give you opportunity to answer any questions from the floor that may not have been asked or answered thus far. Brother Richard?
Heavenly Father, thank you this afternoon for this time. I pray you be with the panel in the greatness of the hour. Give them awareness, keenness, to be able to help all of us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, the people that we have among us that have gone out. And Father, would you give us ideas on how we can better, effectively bring them back and send them in, for your honor and your glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. When I look at the title of this, Keeping Staff Connected to Home and then reiterating them when they return, two different things. But that's all right. I think in keeping them connected to home, helping new missionaries get off to a good start is key. A good send-off from the home church, from the family, from friends, a meaningful commissioning service, very meaningful, very... It just feels good when you know there's people behind you when there's a send-off. And then to have, through that, have committed prayer warriors, knowing that your home church is behind you, is praying for you. But then it's also the missionary's responsibility to keep them informed. I think that's one way that they're being connected can be very effective, when the missionary keeps them informed with things that they're being challenged with, areas that, hey, pray for me in this area, I'm struggling with this, or I'm working with this person, and or I don't understand how to deal with this. To have someone in place that they can call, and then that person can take it to the home church. That's a wonderful way to keep the missionary connected to home. Let's see, I don't have this quite in order here. Orientation, I think, is another very important one. Olive Branch Mennonite Missions has lacked in that, but we are trying to improve on it. This past February, my wife and I had the privilege of spending 3 days up in New York at Missionary Training Center for intense training. And this country preacher got stretched in those 3 days. I immensely enjoyed it, and I believe that's a vital part of a missionary, and in sharing that, those missionaries, as they go out, will be much more prepared. And through all that, they were also encouraged to be to keep their home church informed. I mentioned just a little bit about the home church assigning someone to be in charge, to communicate with the missionary family that's out there. I'm doubling up there. A caution that I would, that I thought of as I thought about this. Now this would be more on the missionary side, to let go of things at home. With our media today, media system, it's very easy for missionaries to keep in touch at home or keep abreast with, especially young people, to keep abreast with sports. And I'm not downing sports, but it got us in trouble when with some of the guidelines that we have in our mission setting with new television. But the missionaries were keeping abreast with sports through the internet. It caused some of the Grenadians to ask questions. No television, but where are you getting this information? And so we had some challenges and to work through that. I think it's very important that missionaries let go of things at home. I don't want to be speaking out of two sides of my mouth, but at the same time, keep the home church informed. Friends back home continually sending pictures of activities. Those things happen and makes it more difficult, makes it a challenge for missionaries to let go of things at home and maybe limit them a little bit. Just a concern that I would have on that. And so as we think of keeping them connected, encouraging them to be connected, I think that's very important, but maybe more directed to their ministry, and to pray with them, to know how to pray for them. After the missionary is on the field, help them. Well, before they go to the field, again, this is backing up. I think it's important that we help our new missionaries before they go to the field to help them with their financial things, to make sure that things are in order in that way. That's a way that the home church can be connected and to help them in that way. While they are in the field, keep in touch, as I mentioned before. Encourage the congregation to pray for them, for the missionaries. And it's good to mention their names, not just to pray for the mission or the missionary, but mention their names. And if possible, to encourage people from the home church to visit the field. Just this past week, we sent a couple from our congregation to Thailand to visit a missionary that's over there. And it was exciting for us to do that. This couple never flew in all their years, and the first time they flew, they went on a long one. But they're there, and I'm anxious to hear what they have to say when they come back. Reiterating, that's something that when they're coming back, that we have, I'm anxious to hear if there's some other discussion or some discussion can come out of this panel. On that, I believe it's important that we help our staff when they come back. One of the ways that we do that is in a financial way. If they've been on the field for 3 years or more, we have a resettlement. We help them out financially in getting settled. And I think that's a big help, and it's very important to them. Another thing that we can do when they come back is encourage them to be involved in PR work. Because when a missionary is on the field, he is busy, at least for the most part. They are out in the front lines, and week after week, day after day. But when they come home and all of a sudden you drop things, that's hard. That's hard. And I've been there. And so plugging them in, encouraging them to be involved in that way. I'll let it at that for now. Maybe there's some more thoughts I can pull or respond to later.
My turn is next. As a rule of thumb, you can count on it like this. The longer the missionaries have been away, the more fluent they have become, the better connected with their receptor culture, the deeper the friendships, and the greater the cultural distance between their culture and the one they go to, the greater the difficulty in reconnecting with their home church. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a boomerang, a stealth tactic that gets them. They didn't expect it. They thought they were coming home. but home as they know it no longer exists. Yes. Hand your papers to the aisleway, please. Thank you, Eugene. So at the end of the session, you may pick up from Kyle a list of resources for missionary care. Some are print and some are online. And you can get, there's just a lot of excellent resources. One would be the book that says Re-entry. And that will be a great one for helping you to reconnect them as they come back. As missionaries prepare to go on the field, we in New York try to host all of them in our home just to build those relationships, because this is all about relationships. We once had a couple that was coming back, and after they came back, they told me, they said, if our church hadn't taken such good care of us, we would have moved on to another church. But we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it because of what they had done for us. And after a period of time of re-entry, they found their niche back in their home church again. And I just breathed a sigh of relief, because it does us as missions no good at all when missionaries come back and move on from their home church. So this is a vulnerable season when they come back from the field. Their preparation for coming back starts even before they leave their field to come back home again. One of the things that we are doing as a mission is making available tips for our local church missions committees who send out their workers to help you grow in member care. So stop by the table or get our website, get our email address, and just ask for that, and you can be placed on the email list. Once a month, there will be a tip of something that you or your missions committee can do to help increase the member care of those who are on the field. I make a list of their birthdays and anniversaries, and including death anniversaries, like a couple that lost their baby. And then on their birthday or anniversary or death anniversary, send them an email. Just say, hey, we're thinking about you. You're out of sight, but you're not out of mind. The Lord bless you today. Here's a verse for you, or something like that. Just the little things. Remember, much of life is made up of little stuff. And little stuff, after a while, accumulates and makes big stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep in mind. And when you get their email newsletters, there's a thing on your computer that starts with R. It's a button called Reply. Just hit that and say, got your newsletter. It was great. And I'm praying for you. That will mean an awfully lot to them. I like to jot down either from their prayer letters or in our visits any prayer requests. And I just keep a running list there. And every time I make mention, like Paul says, I make mention of you, I just make a little mark there. And I keep collecting just to make sure that I make mention of those things. And the next time around, I say, oh, remember you'd said last year about this and this? And, oh, yeah, I think I did. Well, you know, it's amazing how God's answered that. And it lets them know that they've not been forgotten and that we care. I think one of the things that I would like to really encourage you as churches and mission boards represented here, that debriefing and reentry time when they come back is so vitally important. They need to meet with somebody. Somebody who cares. Somebody who has some understanding. Get out. What's on the inside? What are the frustrations they feel in coming back to this culture? I mean, it is overwhelming. And sometimes they deal with a lot of anger and resentment when they come back and see the materialism, even of the church. And if we're not careful, this can really do a number on them in terms of their faith, their connectedness to the church community, their ongoing involvement in the work of the Lord. For you who are in missions agencies, here's one creative idea we're using, that of all the donations that come through specified for workers, we take the equivalent of 2%, not out of that donation, but out of our general fund, and we set it aside in an equity fund. From Deuteronomy 15, remember, he says, when you turn your servant loose, don't send him away empty-handed. And so that accrues for them over the years, as long as they serve with D&I, and when they leave D&I, then we give that to them to help them get started with their next season of life. And that's a nice way of saying thank you. We've been thinking about you all along, and we care for you as you start your next season of life. Some of our people have stateside, they have prefixes of telephone numbers that are stateside, and they're free. I don't know if you know that or not, but I can call to Spain and talk all day long if they have time and if I have time, and it won't cost us a cent because they have paid for a plan like maybe $30 a month or something like that. So this is a very good way of getting in touch. Skype is a great way, and even people over 50 can learn how to do Skype. I tell you, a Murphy man. Murphy always gets me, but even I learned how to do that. And you can pray over Skype, and I think cyber prayers count. Okay, next, I think, Ivan, is it you?
Yes. I'll talk about it on two stages. First, keeping staff connected to home. As a congregation, we like to keep our members connected by giving them weekly emails. Our deacon does very well. He takes the announcements of a Sunday morning, and he just sends those to everyone, including those on the field. Some information doesn't mean anything to them, but much of it does. It just keeps them in touch as to what's happening at home, just a little connecting point. And there's a variety of information that he sends along with that. When we have members' meetings, men's meetings, those kinds of things, those are minuted, and we send those to the ones on the field, not to overburden them, but just to keep them informed. And then if there's an issue that comes back for a vote, for church council, we invite them to participate. Often their comment is, you know, thank you so much for keeping us informed, but we, at our distance, we prefer not to vote. But at least they've been informed, and then when they come home, they have some of that background. And that has been very, very helpful for them. Prayer cards are important. Someone in our church took it on themselves to put the entire membership onto a little 4x6 card in columns, and it's done on two-week rotations where every member is listed. Sundays you pray for a certain segment of group of people, and the next Sunday you do another. But it's in 2 weeks' time you pray for every person in church by name. And if you have a large congregation, you know, that does take some time. But the missionaries are included in that. And that's something that is wonderful. My wife and I enjoy that after our coffee and toast, to pray around the world and to include those that are from our congregation serving elsewhere. So prayer is very, very important. Moving now to their return. It's very important that you communicate with them as they return. What are they feeling? If they're burned out, take that into consideration. I remember when my brother came home after 11 years in Kenya, being lead pastor, he came home, he was tired. His tongue was hanging out. And I said, Merle, how do you feel? He said, I'm tired. I said, okay, that's fine. You can rest. We will give you a break. But I'm asking that when the time comes that you're feeling a little uneasy, would you talk to me about that? Would you let me know? He said, yes, I will. And you know, about 6 months in, he came to me and he said, you know, Ivan, I'm ready for something. I said, you're on. Yeah, there's lots to do. And he got involved. And I told him, take as many assignments outside the congregation as you feel comfortable with. We affirm your ministry. We want you to be involved. And so I think it's very, very important that you keep that connection with people. Just because they've been serving doesn't mean that they're ready to take a whole plate load when they come home. But eventually, they will want to add a few things to that plate, and so you need to be considerate of that. One thing we do when people come home from the field, our congregation has a policy that we take offerings for those that are serving elsewhere, and that's put in a fund. And when they come home, that is given to them for their reestablishment. And it's, grocery showers can be very helpful, and it's amazing. They go to a grocery store, and all that's available. We like to give gift cards and say, now this is not your regular groceries, okay? So if there's something special you want to get for your family, use this. just little things like that. Just recently, our board made a decision that we haven't been doing very well in debriefing when they come back. We'd like to do better on that. One thing we could do is send return missionaries to a retreat. And so we have developed gift cards and are now, gift certificates, I should say, and are now offering to our return missionaries that sometime within the first 5 years of coming home, they can go to Penn Valley Christian Retreat to a return missionary seminar at AMA's expense. We're eager to see how that'll work, but it's an idea. Thanks.
Very good. Brother Emmanuel.
I'd like to focus on the re-entering the missionaries. I'd like to focus a little bit more on the home church. It's pretty easy for us to focus on the missionary when he comes back, but I'd like to just take our attention to the need to inform the local church. And the pastors of the church, really, or the mission leaders of the congregation, should take this responsibility up to inform the local church, to instruct them, to teach them, to get resources into their hands so that the home church can understand what the missionary is going through. So the missionary comes back after spending 7 years or so in the field, and one of the dear members of the church says to him, so how was, Tajikistan? He says, no, we're in Afghanistan. We never were there. Yeah. How does that feel, the missionary? Mm-hmm. So the home church, informing the home church, instructing them, getting materials into their hands, I see, is vital for bringing them back. Mm-hmm. That's about all I have to say.
That's good, Emmanuel. There's a huge need for education in our churches.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you, brothers. We'll go now to the questions that you have handed in, and we'll start out with you, Brother Eugene.
Question I have here is, what is the most helpful response to give someone who has come home and is still missing the work and those he was working with in his target country after several months? We were in Grenada in the years 1990 to 93, and then in South Dakota on a mission on the Indian reservation 2001 to 2006, and we still think about that work. We still think about those ministry. I met somebody here this week that we used, one of the speakers that we used in the field as a retreat speaker while we were there in one of the fields, and he was remembering those days. And I said, I would just love to relive that. This is real. It takes a long time. What is the most helpful response to it? It's good if they can, when a missionary comes back, to stay in touch. It's okay, especially if they were Christian people that responded to the gospel, and they're part of the church that you were pastoring or working with on the mission field. It's good to stay in touch with them. Phone calls, letters, most of them don't have email, and so that part of communication is out. But what did you call the phone connection that they can have, Alan?
Skype. That's the computer.
The other one.
Well, I don't know what it's called, but you can get those. It's a stateside-based number.
Okay.
That you can call, and it's free.
There's one of the church members in Grenada just this past week called my wife, one of the ladies there, called my wife and does it periodically. And that's a relationship that goes back to 90 to 93. They were like sisters. And to this day, there's phone calls back and forth. And she uses that system, that program. There's a family in South Dakota that keeps in touch with us from time to time. And so these things are real. are, I think, important. What is the most helpful way to respond? I think to keep communication lines open, but then also encourage them to be, you're not the only one. You left and maybe you were a real impact to them while you were on the field. I think of that with my wife and I, with these people that keep in touch with us. But my encouragement to them is, there's a new pastor there. There are other workers there. Befriend them, learn to know them, and get close to them too. Not just from, the community people to the missionary, but the missionary to those that you were working with. That's a good question. Thanks.
Brothers, do you have anything you want to add to that question?
I'm just wondering, is the one technology called Magic Jack that people
There's
use?
There's that
yeah.
one.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right, my question. Missionaries likely left a congregation where they carried responsibilities and were needed in their home church. On the field, they carry responsibilities and, again, are needed and respected as is appropriate for their service. What is the best way for the home church to offer more than a vacuum when they return?
Good question.
Because after you leave, the church can't just sit there and wait till you get back. So what happened to the hole that you left? It fills up. So when you come back, there ain't no more hole. So where do you fit? Well, one of the several things that came to my mind, one is, first of all, when they come back, give them an opportunity to share thoroughly about their ministry while they were on the field. 10 minutes isn't enough. That's just a token. Maybe a whole service, maybe a series, so that the church can get acquainted with them. When they come back, ask them, what would you like to do? Mm-hmm. When would you like to do it? I heard one of you talking about that. Very nice. I think we ought to pray for them as they come back. Satan is going to look for ways to discourage and to try to drive a wedge, to create distance. And the potential for misunderstanding just lurks everywhere around this process. The person might, who comes back, if your church has a local missions committee or a local outreach committee, this missionary might do very well being on that committee, but you say, well, it's going to be another year until elections come around. Well, then ask if he would like to sit in on the committee meetings as an advisor with voice. Even if there's no vote, then it helps to get him in the process. And then he's very nicely positioned to be elected the next time the elections come up. I don't know if your churches plan an annual missions event, like a long weekend where you focus on missions. If you don't, you really should. And this person, this missionary, could be placed on that committee. Or if it doesn't exist yet, task him with doing that and get that as part of your church tradition. Or perhaps this person, you could ask if he or she might be interested in providing care for those from your church who are still on the field by calling or by email. Who's going to understand them better than someone who's already been there? And that could be a really great ministry. And then if your church does have organized outreach events, include this person in it and say, well, why don't you come along? I know it's different from what you were doing. But come along and just look through a different set of eyes and help us to see if there's maybe something creative that we could do here or how we could do what we're doing, do it better, do it more creatively. So come along and just let us know. So those are a few things that came to mind. Brothers, do you have something to add to that question? Okay. And Brother Ivan, with your questions.
The question is, what is wrong when missionaries leave their home church after returning from their term of service on the field? Good question. I don't know that I have a good answer for it. It could be a variety of things. Sometimes when missionaries come back, they come back with a very different view on what their life call should be. And perhaps within their congregation, there's nothing that quite fits that. And in such cases, it would seem right to me, we've not experienced it, but it would seem right to me that the congregation would affirm that vision, if it's a legitimate vision, and would bless them in traveling on to something where they can fill that role. if it is that there's a coldness within the congregation toward missions and toward the vision that they have, then I think it's time to talk about reviving the vision and have something where we can really catch the vision of missions, not only overseas, but locally, and talk about what can we do to restore the vision of evangelism in our communities and get these people involved. So, I don't know, maybe you, brethren, have something to say to that.
Like you said, there's a lot of different reasons that that happens. And that's about all I have to say.
Well, we've, in our journey since 2000, there was one couple that was sent through DNI, two. And after they finished with DNI, they moved on, and they moved quite a ways to the left of us. And that was very painful to see that happen. It still grieves me to this day. I don't know what we could have done. I've often wondered that myself. Sometimes that happens because their values have changed. And I know in at least one case, maybe both, where they were involved in language study and then also in their assignment for survival, especially in the beginning stage, they interacted a lot with the international church, which would be an English-speaking church, composed of missionaries, workers from all over the world and all over the map, church map. And of course, those people are all gung-ho about missions because that's why they're there. And so then it's very easy for the workers coming back to compare what they felt and experienced in the international church, where everything's great and we don't get onto any controversial subjects. And then you compare it with your home church. And away they go. And I would just say that one factor that's very, very important in this, and it's not going to solve everything, is the more we can strengthen our relationships with the missionaries and partner or journey with them in their spiritual journey to what's going on the inside, then hopefully the less likely it is that we have those losses. I don't think there's any guarantee that we will never have those losses. It's a risk. Do you have anything to add, Eugene?
No, but we've gone through that. I've seen some come back from our mission fields, mission points, and have moved on to other areas. And again, I don't know the reasoning for sure. Some of them may have been because of where they would have came back to was a much larger church, and they plugged into a smaller, maybe with more opportunity to be involved. Not something that I know of for sure. I think of a more recent missionary that just returned after a total of 15 years on the field, up in years now, just very content in doing what they can here and there. Pastor Mike knows them very well. But, I don't really have any more.
Okay. Emmanuel, I think you have a question yet, and then we'll open up for questions from the floor.
Several questions, but I'm only going to ask the one, and I don't even know that I have the correct answer. What is the single biggest road bump for returnees? I don't know what the biggest one is, but I would just like to say one of them is that the home church is too busy with other things to really do what needs to be done to not just welcome them when they come back, but to be there for them after 6 months, after a year, after 2 years, and to stay with them throughout the next 3-4 years, whatever is needed, until they have really been integrated back into the service of the home church.
Good thought there, Emmanuel. Ivan and Eugene, do you have anything to add to his comment there?
No, I was just thinking about the size of the church sometimes impacts that as well. Because of the size, they can be forgotten in the shuffle of the group. And so somebody needs to be paying attention to that.
That's right.
The bump that I think of doesn't really have to do with the home church. When we moved to South Dakota in 01, we arrived there the day the towers got hit in New York. And so when we came back in 06, things have drastically changed, and I was frustrated. If I would not have had a friendly JP to work with, I would not have understood why I have to go through all the red tape. That was one area the church was not there to help me with, and I was frustrated.
Okay. And it occurs to me to mention to you, don't overlook the transition and re-entry of the missionaries' children.
Good.
They're called Third Culture Kids, TCKs. And there's actually a very good book called Third Culture Kids. And I think the author's last name is Pollack, P-O-L-L-A-C-K. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, if you go on Amazon to get it, it's a purple cover, Third Culture Kids. And that's a whole area of study itself that often is not understood. It's very, very important. Okay, we'll open up for questions from the floor or suggestions as well if you would like to offer them to any one of these topics.
My question would relate directly to those children. Our mission has traditionally encouraged furloughs as a way of coming home, reconnecting before going back, getting refreshed, going back. Worker Paul says, my children don't enjoy going on furlough. It's strange to them. They'd just rather not. So we'd just not rather go on furlough. How do we help Paul and his family?
Okay, for the sake of the recording, what about missionary children who really don't want to come back to the States? It's not coming home for them. Home is where they've been living.
That's right.
They don't enjoy it. How do we help to welcome them and connect them when they do come back? Brothers, what would you say?
First problem is we don't realize there's a need until 3 years later missionaries come back and tell us how it was the last time. That's a little bit, doesn't feel too good.
I think of our young families, a couple of our young families on the field that have done furloughs often enough that had friends, church, family back here that they were able to keep connected with. And so it's been a joy to them. That's different than what you're sharing. But, yeah.
So your suggestion might be both-sided, two-sided.
Yeah, it can be. Maybe not enough of furlough. I don't know.
Sometimes for needs, we've... special needs, we've enlarged or lengthened the furlough time to give people more time to connect. Maybe you could have the missionary do some study at a Bible institute or something like that that would give them a little more time. It would enrich him in terms of his own ministry and just give more time for the children to settle in and to get reconnected. Sometimes people ask children really dumb questions and they get so tired of it. And that can alienate them. Do you have something to add, Ivan?
I don't really.
Okay. Third Culture Kids, that's the book. Check it out. Okay, other questions or suggestions?
We had a couple that came back from the mission field where they were in a group where the focus was united as a team. They were not amongst any family, so they were forced to be family and to be connected, which really drew them close together, and they loved it. And then they come back home and expect the church to be the same, and it's just like, why can't you have the same? What do you do?
What do you do when they had a good working relationship as a team on the field, they come back, they expect that same kind of community, and it's not there?
Again, I think preparation for both the missionary and the home church is vital. Get them information as a home church. Get them information to the missionary, the book, Reentry, like we've been talking about here or as a resource. Again, it's vital for both the missionary and the home church, the receiving end, for the children's sake and for the whole way through. Even just for missionaries coming on furlough, This book is very helpful. There's resources out there if we avail ourselves to it.
Ivan or Eugene?
We have encouraged the book Reentry. In fact, we give it to missionaries as once they notify us of their intention to terminate, we give them the book Reentry. Plus, we provide that to the home church leadership team and say, here's a book we think you should read.
Very good.
Yes, Eugene. There's a book that's not on this resource. It's just called Reentry Team. So when you get this paper, write that down. I forget the author, but if you Google it, you'll find it. Reentry Team. And that one's more involved, more detailed than the one that's listed here, Reentry.
One book that I haven't heard mentioned, Serving as Senders, and you have Barilla.
Yes.
Both sides as well.
That is on here. And the earlier edition is Serving as Senders. The newer edition is Serving as Senders Today.
Yes.
So don't go for the cheaper one. That's the older one.
Yeah.
Get the one that says Serving as Senders Today. Excellent resource. And at the bottom here, we have some web resources. And these would have many articles that are available. And some of them would be about these specific topics that you can resource and that actually missionaries can go to. Sometimes, and probably usually, missionaries, when they come back, they have unrealistic expectations, just like they had when they went to the field in the first place.
That's right.
And so they're comparing apples with oranges. They're expecting this, and it's not possible. And so that's where the bump comes. And the higher the expectation, the greater the potential for disappointment. And so what we're going to do now is stand up, two by two. We're going to pray for a missionary that you have in mind, maybe somebody who has come back, or maybe someone that you think of we should grow in connecting better with them to strengthen the relationship, or maybe to pray for our churches to do a better job at connecting with them. And then if you watch and pray, you'll see when Kyle holds up the zero, and then that's when your prayer is done. But if he doesn't do that, or if you don't see it, be sure you collect your paper on the way out. And thank you very much for coming to join us, and let's find a prayer partner and pray.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.